Okay, so again, we are up to Simin Hey. It's on page Lamites. Lamites, Simin Hey, Seif Katan Yud Aleph. Yotza Mimenu Reach Milamata. Okay, this is very common. We have all this question comes up very often. Page Lamites. On the very top of page Lamites. Yotza Mimenu Reach Milamata. Let's say there's an odor. Now, an odor, you have to say, an odor is not as problematic as everything that we've been discussing until now, for a very simple reason. There is no dovar, you don't have a dovar sheyesh by mamish, until, nothing physical. Until now, everything we've been learning until now, you're dealing with the base akise, we're dealing with the location, we're dealing with the situation where there is physical waste. There is physical waste. It just so happens, most of the time, the physical waste produces odor. So you have a double problem. You have the odor problem, plus you have the physical waste problem. Even if you don't have the odor, if it's present within your Dalet Amos and your gaze of sight, it's a problem. Now we're moving on to a new halacha where you don't have anything physical. It's nothing more than odor. Is that problematic? So the answer is not as problematic. There's much more grounds for leniency when you don't have something physical present. So yatsa mimenu reyach milamata. So the rule is osir bedavish bekedusha at sheyichle harayach. Now, this is a very interesting halach. The difference between oneself and someone else. If the odor has come from one's own body, that person who is responsible is not allowed to daven, is not allowed to continue saying anything, to learn, to say, to speak in the Shemona Esrei. Osir bedavish shabekedusha at sheyichle harayach. Period. Vimyotza mechaver. So it's not your fault. It's not my. I'm not responsible. Vimyotza mechaveroi gam kein tzarich lahandin. Also doesn't matter. You also have to delay. A person is davening Shemona Esrei. You have no choice. What can you do? You have to stop davening Shemona Esrei until the odor dissipates. Rock. The only room for leniency is im hu oisek belimu toira. Torah is not as chomor as davening. Then eino tzarich lahamtin mishul reach sheyotza mechavera. That's a very interesting concept because it appears to be is that reach technically is not osir. It's a chomor. When it comes to something physical, there's something physical and that's producing an odor. That's a to'eva. That's what we learned last week. That's a to'eva. That is very serious in halacha. Anything that is not physical, it's just odor, you're not allowed. But being that it's not physical, the Jew for leniency, specifically where it's not one's, he's not responsible for it, and he's not being Isaac in davening, he's Isaac in learning. Yud beis. Beis akise. Okay, so a lot of these halachas, okay, he's in the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch is very machmir. In these in Yonim, we're going to see, he's very machmir. The Mishnah Berurah and other poskim are more lenient than the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. Beis akise, yesh lo mechitzos, vein bat soya. You have a clean beis akise. There's no mechitzos, and there's no waste. It's thick and span. Doesn't matter. Tzarech laharchik mimena, a person must distance himself from the beis akise. We'll see the Shulchan Aruch Mishnah in a moment. Because it's miyuchid. It's been designated for a purpose of waste, and therefore, machmer. Ulchein, therefore, safsel also im nekev. Let's say we have a chair, which is a toilet. Shemamidim tach tachtav graf lifnois olav, lifanois olav, afopi shahitsu, even though right now it's clean, there is no waste inside. The kisu yes hanekev, and it's covered. It's been completely covered. The kisu yes hanekev bedaf. It must be covered. It has a din of a beis akise. Let's say a portable toilet, which is found like a nursing home, is in the hospital, so on and so forth. So these things have a din of a beis akise, and according to the Kiddush Shnach in Tfila, may not be recited in its presence. Ach, im hu kisei miyuchel yeshiva. Let's say it's not necessarily, sometimes, I'm sure probably you have this in modern technology, in nursing rooms, but let's say it has a dual function. Sometimes it serves the beis akise and sometimes not. So if there would be such a thing, is also used. If it's used, it's not 100% designated for this purpose, it's used at times for other purposes, then it's mutter to recite tefillah in its presence as long as it is currently clean and covered. Okay, these are obviously, you just have to use seichel, common sense for these halachas. Let's see over here the Shabbat Shalom halacha dalet. See right away. See the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is very. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch was written in 1890. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Something along that time period, end of the 19th century. The Sha'adim, the Sirah B'Halacha, Rabbi Braun. This I can't even begin to tell you what a classic this is. The Sha'adim, the Sirah B'Halacha. It's become a staple of life. Even I think Rav Yashar, Zechsar Levracha, had his own Hagos. He knew about Peb. Is there any sefer you know of Heintika, someone from this generation, that Rav Yashar would spend so much time and he would read every single word after the Kach, he would write his own comments on the Sha'adim? That's what he did. So this has been written 100 years later, a commentary or an addendum to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch by Rav Braun. He was only nifter about 10-15 years ago, and he's very lenient. He takes the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and you know the style, Kitzur Shulchan is Machnir, and he comes along and says, well, nowadays, so 100 years later, it's been 100 years since the time of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and you know, things have changed a little bit. Things have changed. So he says over here in the Shulchan Aruch, "V'zedavka batei kiso shahayu oz shenase be'achotzer v'hi chedem yuchel lezem yishuv demam lemchitzos nasu b'shul beis akisei." This is, even though if you read the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you would think, listen, beis akisei, there's a toilet and there are walls. It's a makom that's miyuchad. It's very logical. It's a place that's not. It's miyuchad for not clean things. So even though it's spick and span, you go to a hotel, right? You go to a hotel. So maybe in your home, you're not necessarily so meticulous. Maybe if you're more meticulous in your home, let's say you go to a 5-star hotel. The bathroom is like a living room. It's like, you can't get better than that. Some people in their homes also like that. Halavai. But no, this is a very logical. So what? A lamdan will tell you it's miyuchit for something that's not nice, for something which is dirty, physical waste, and therefore, no matter what, you can't do a davar shebekedusha in such a location. That's what it says in the Kitzur, and it's not so far fetched to come to that conclusion. But no, the Sha'adim says we can be lenient. That's so he says that our bathrooms, the walls, it's all part of the house. It's all part of the house. So the walls serve as a wall for your living room, and on the other side of the wall there's a bathroom. So you can't give the Beis HaKisei, you can't say that you're not allowed to daven in front, like according to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to daven facing the Beis HaKisei. Because the whole structure is miyuchet for Beis HaKisei. But that's not true in our homes. Because in our homes you have a wall, and that wall divides the living room and the Beis HaKisei. So you can't say you're facing that wall, you're facing the Beis HaKisei. Facing the Beis HaKisei, you're facing the wall of your dining room. It just so happens, on the other side of the wall, there is a Beis HaKisei. So this does not apply. This only applies in the ancient olden days, where you went outside of your home into a structure that was only set aside for Beis HaKisei. Then if you're in the street, you should not be davening facing that structure. Kach perish ha-ture zov. The kol shekein, and certainly, bebotei kiso shelonu, shehim babayis, v'hatsoya, nishtefes luchutz, flushed. It's flushed luchutz, ein loy din beis hakisei, totally today, you can be megal. He's totally rejecting what it says in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. For sure, you can close the door, it's mutter. But even when the door is open, he seems to be saying.
So if you have a kitchen and a living room,
yeah,
davening further away from the
kitchen, the bathrooms. And the
he's saying no. He's extremely lean. He's saying that our bathrooms are extremely clean, and the waste is flushed away, and our standards are completely different. So he's not telling you the great details, but he's just saying that there's much more grounds today's times to be lenient. So let's go further. Yud-Gimel.
We get back to the commode thing. That's a common, you know,
yeah.
Hospitals and nursing homes, so
he's saying you should not daven in front of it. That's clear, even according to the Kishon Shulchan Aruch. Even if it's clean, it's miyochid, you should not daven in front of it, and it should be treated like physical waste. So what does it mean, physical waste? You should not be davening if it's in your range of sight. If you're in the room and you want to daven mincha and it's in your range of sight, you should not be davening, even though there is no odor. If it's not in your range, so just turn your body. Just daven with your back towards it. So then you should distance l'chatchila 6 feet. If you can distance, you have enough room. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 tiles. It's not so hard in a hospital room. You should have enough. It depends where you are, and then it depends where. So if you can distance yourself from behind it, there's no odor. So, but it's treated like physical waste. So you don't. It's not in your range of sight, and you're at a distance of 6 feet, and it's mutter. Yeah.
Screen yesterday, there's a guy on death row someplace in down south. He's supposed to be Jewish or something. He says he's in, you know, an area too much.
Yeah, and he can't daven.
He says he cannot
because of the toilet in the prison cell.
The toilet is open.
In a prison cell, they have open toilets. It's not buchach. That's not buchach. Yeah.
The official, the warden said cover it.
First of all, there's water inside. So the water is mevatel the meraglayim, and it's clean. And if he just turns, if he turns away from it, l'chor it should be mutter. I don't know. Yeah. What? No, so it's completely contained. I think we had that. It's completely mutter. It's completely contained inside. So and it's a cover. It's covered.
Covered
and contained its mutter. Okay, Yud Gimel, Graf Shel Rei, is a bedpan. So Graf Shel Rei is a bedpan that's miyuchid for Gidolim. We're almost finished. I know it's very difficult to hear this stuff, but we're almost finished. Hopefully we'll finish today. Graf Shel Rei, the other Shel Miraglayim, and this is Ketanin. In Him Shel Cheres, Oy Shel Eitz. If it's made from Cheres or wood, Dinit Vesakisa, it's disgusting. Viathvi Shem Nikinu, they're clean, doesn't make Vainlahim Rechra, doesn't make a difference. Viathvilu Nasam Tuchan Mayim. Even if you pour water into it, Oy Shakafna Le Al PM, Loy Mahani, it's not going to help. Viathvilu Nasam Tachas Hamid, even if you put underneath the bed, Loy Mahani. Why? Because these things are disgusting, because cheres and wood is disgusting. We don't have this today. Today it's plastics. So we don't have this issue whatsoever. Our beds are not chaitz. Another issue, the bed is not called chatzitza. And you must remove it or to cover it. Covering it works. Even if it's in your range of sight, just cover it. If you cover it and there is no odor, you're fine. Metal or glass, and I'm assuming plastic is the same. They didn't have plastic things over 100 years ago. They're clean. You need not distance yourself. Next, another halacha: pichazir. The mouth is not geared to us too much unless you go to the zoo. The pichazir kevet shadarku lenaka betsoa dina kegraf shel rehi. It has the status of a bedpan. Vafilu ilam hanoi if it comes out of the river. Ain harechit samayelas. Let's see the shem shem lochon. Hey, the other shomer aglaim. Mish shechem bebayis. Beis acholim. In a hospital. The shama shriach aved mizuchochis uboy mizuchuches. It's very common to have a glass bedpan. He's talking over here. I know you say it's more common plastic. Uboy meiraglaim munach mitzad shalmita eitz lachayla mutar likrois kriyashmal lespal dafilut soydihi also derayts afilu wachim hi beashoshes mutar likrois connected the bekisoy tola rachmana. Even if it's in glass, okay. So he's saying a very important leniency. Even if now these bedpans, even if it was mamish gedolim, and if it was as long as it's covered, even if you can see it, if it's covered, it's mutter, because the only thing that the Torah says, v'chisisa es tse'osecha, you shall cover what comes out of one's out of your body. So covering, the Torah does not specify that it should be covered with something which is opaque. Doesn't make a difference. Even if it's clear, that is called a valid covering. So therefore, so even that min hatoira is okay as long as it's covered and there is no odor. Certainly, well, they have in the hospitals a container for meraglayim, which meraglayim is nowhere near the level of v'chisisa se'asech. It's not under the raisa like gedolim. The kol shchein meraglayim the hurak midrabanan k'mashakos of hamogin avram v'afilu kishe posuach, even kli bakbuk milamale, even if the container is opened, not all the time is it closed. Because he's coming to tell us leniency. Since if a person is not going to go meshuga, person is not going to be able to recite kriya shma. Vivatal shah mikriya shma utvila yesh lehatir. Hafacha means gas. When a person passes gas, that you're permitted. There are grounds. I don't know the details, but there are grounds. There are many grounds to be lenient in a situation where there's odor, and as long as the odor is not connected to something physical, when a person passes gas, there is nothing physical out in this world. Whatever is in the body doesn't count. That's it. It's a different world, the body. It's on Mars. So why is there odor? Odor is reach. Lechatchil, a person should not recite a davar shebekdusha when there is reach. We learned above that if it's not a person's, it's not his own reach, he should also stop. But for Torah, for davening, for learning, if a person is not repulsed to the degree where he can still concentrate, everyone has a different threshold for these type of things, especially when one dealing with little children, your own children, so then it's a whole different world. So then the threshold is completely different. And if you're in a situation where you're babysitting for a child and you happen to be learning a sefer and the child is passing gas and it's your own child or grandchild, then you have a very high threshold for this type of unpleasantness, you're allowed to continue learning Torah. So it's saying, so why? Because it's not at all a deraisa, and even midrabanan, it's not even a midrabanan because it's a dover she'ein boy mamish. So therefore, just like when it comes, coming to extrapolate, just like there when it comes to hafacha, passing gas, to dover she'ein boy mamish, there are many grounds to be lenient in many different types of situations. Likewise, when you're dealing with a hospital, which everything in a hospital automatically is a whole different shulchan. Is opened up when you come into a hospital. The rules are completely relaxed due to the situation of anyone that has to be in a hospital, whether it's the patient or the caretaker. All of a sudden, everything completely changes in Shulchan Aruch, and a person is not going to be able to daven if you're going to go meshuga over every single little situation. If you're just dealing with meraglayim in a container and there is no odor, even if the container is not completely closed, it's mutter, because meraglayim is not a deraita, it's only midrabanan, and it's already contained, and the only shayl is, but it's slightly open, so there's no reason why a person should be machmer in a hospital room, no matter what, and it's mutter l'chatchilu to daven to recite kriya shema, and to recite kriya shema, to everything that a person needs to do is mutter. Okay, you dalet. The base hamerchat skam kein asal dabar lahar b'davar shabekedusha. The base hamerchat, the person is not yudalit, and the base hamerchat, the person is not allowed to speak or lahar b'davar shabekedusha. And this, unfortunately, people are nichshol, and I see this all the time in the mikvah. You're not allowed to talk in the mikvah. The mikvah has a status of base hamerchat because people are completely not dressed in the mikvah. You're not allowed to talk or lahar b'davar shabekedusha. We also lahaskes shemos amiyuchadim laHakadosh Baruch Hu. You're not allowed to mention names that are miyuchad Hashem. Afilu b'loshon chol kigoin got. God is Yiddish for Hashem, German for God, and we know, I told you the whole drasha that in the Torah, we had, that was a drasha, we learned the letters of the Alephes, letter Gimel and Tes never appear in the Torah, never appear anywhere in Tanakh together. There are a few sets of letters, only a handful of sets of letters. You have all the various combinations of the Aleph base, the 22 letters of the Aleph base. You start making a calculation. Does the Aleph ever come near the base? Of course, Af. Does the Aleph ever come near the Gimel? Aleph, Gimel. So yes, you have to go through the whole Tanakh. You can go make every single possible combination of all the various letters that ever come next to each other. There are a few, a handful number of letters that never appear next to each other, and one of them is Get. Gimel and Tes never ever come next to each other, and that's why this is a Jewish, that's why a divorce document is called a Get, because the goal is to separate man and woman. Separation. Aleph and Gimel in the Aleph and Tes in the Torah. Gimel and Tes in the Torah are always separate. They're never next to each other. So I told you a very interesting Jewish. It's interesting that in Yiddish, which is German, which goes back I don't know to which century, that nothing is a coincidence. The way Jews refer to Hashem is Gott. The Aleph is just a vowel. It's not really part of the Gott, Gimel. So it's just something very interesting. How could it be that Klal Yisrael, Yiddish, whether it's there is significance, not significance, I don't know. The way Klal Yisrael refers to Hashem is Gott, Gimel, Tes. Those two letters mean separation. They're never in the Torah HaKadosh, never come together. I think so the Jewish is that in Chanami, in Golos, Yiddish is a language of Golos. It's a function of Golos. Even where you see there's a distance, Gimel and Tes represent the ultimate concept of distance. Gott, Hashem is there. V'yanochi aster panai, Hashem hides himself, but Hashem is present even in the greatest hester panim. Yeah.
Gott. Yeah.
Right, I know, that's it. God is German, but right, and it's German, right, 100%. Okay, so you're not allowed to say Gott in the Beis HaMerech, that's because even though it's not Yud Kei Vav Kei, but it's still a reference to Hashem. Oy, Belosha, Oy, Buga. You know what that is? I never heard that. What? God in Polish? You know they follow that?
Yeah.
A different generation. Buga. Buga, Belosha, Poilin, Russia. In Russian, and then far. The base of Merchatz, or in dirty alleyways. You're not allowed to say in the bathhouse, Shalom, because Shalom is the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu. He Shalom Ushmoy Shalosh Baruch Hu. Shnemar Vayikro Loi Hashem. It was Yaakov. Yaakov called Hashem Shalom. He called him. He called him by Hashem, that's Hashem's name. The Adam Sheshmo Shalom, Yesh Oisrim Likroitsoy Shem Shom, there in the Beis HaMerechatz Bishmo. The Yesh Matin and Kevin Sheinim Machavin Alinin Hashalom, because you're not being Machavin to Hashem Hashem. El Laskar Shmo Shal Oisro Adam, Vachin Hagin Lohakel. So here, the Kitzur Gzuntite is Makel. You're allowed to say Shalom in the Beis HaMerechatz because you're not thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but V'yore Shemayim. Yesh Elahachmir, the Mishnah Berurah says something very funny. He says you should say, you should swallow the last syllable. Shalom. Hello, Shalom. Swallow the last syllable, and that way you'll certainly grab his attention. What'd you call me?
Yeah? The bath house has a lobby.
Then it's mutter. The lobby is called the middle room. It's the middle room. And the middle room is mutter. We're only dealing in the part of the room where people are completely undressed. Where they're completely undressed. What?
Locker room is...
It depends. So it depends. That's like a middle room. Are they always undressed in the locker room? I don't know. Different types of locker rooms.
Yeah, sometimes
no. Okay, I don't know. But in the place where they completely under the luchari, then it's also. The place completely undressed, and there are people undressed there at that moment in time, then you should be careful. Let's go over here, Yudalit. Let's go over here in the Kitzer, the Shadim Vav. We have here... Vav bebeis hamerchatz ayin b'shalas shuvus chasam sofer b'mish yesh loy b'sech chedroi chafiras mikva mayim chamin. Wow, I gotta be a billionaire. Even the richest people today, I know people that have swimming pools in their basement. I know someone. They have a real swimming pool in their basement here in Flatbush. You think you know you go in their house, not outside.
Yeah, you are between 20
in the basement, in their own private house. They have a pool. So they have a chafibas, but they don't have a mikvah. They have a pool, not a mikvah. That's already multi-billionaire to have a mikvah. Because that's a big operation to have a mikvah. So sheish lo b'sech chedroi chafiras mikvah mayim chamim b'sech beisai letaharas noshim shebe beisai from women and it's covered with boards. It's the room. In this room is where people get undressed. In this room. But this room is only used occasionally. It's only used once a month. So right now I want to use it as my study. I want to use it to sit and learn Torah. I want to dive a minion here. When it'll be used, we'll clear out and then it'll be used, but it's only used temporarily and then they'll uncover the floor of the mechitza. It's not always used. So what is the status? Are you allowed to do in this room a davar shebe kedusha? So the rule is, rak mios tov shiyamag mechitza arayis l'chutz beinoy lehamikva. It's a shaila. It's a dilemma. It's a question. The ideal thing was to have a mechitza. You should have a partition which separates that area where the actual mikveh is. Because the pool you always covered. The pool you're wearing a bathing suit. But let's say the ambati is a bath where you're uncovered. You should make a mechitza. So ideally, he's saying it can be done. The only thing is that b'shas ma'isa, you can be makel. That b'shas ma'isa, it should be covered when the person is learning, that the area that is used for the actual immersion should be covered. And that way, at this moment in time, it's no longer called the bathhouse, no longer called the mikvah, and it's mutter. Don't compare what we have mentioned, which is done once in a while, to a place where it's permanently used for bathing. The place that's permanently used, only used for bathing or permanently used for a mikvah, don't start making leniencies and start saying, oh, we'll make a breakaway minion in the mikvah. You have a shul, right? You have an overflow, so we'll make a break. It's not a shul until you have a breakaway minion. That you can't do. So we'll get the person wants to take a drink. Schwitz. Right, if it's, you're fainting and you need to take a drink in the mikvah, what should you do? Can you make a bracha? So this will come to at a later point in time. Let's just move tezvav. Okay, also tezvav also dabe 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 tabe kedusha neged erva. A person may not recite dabe kedusha in front of an erva. Now, what an erva means? Part of the body, that is exposed. That's what we mean by erva. Bein shaloi bein shal acher. Afilu mikatan ugetana. Here, the Mishnah, the kitzur is extremely machmir. The Ramah, even the Ramah is not so machmir. Ramah Shulchan Aruch says an erva is only also by a boy, only up until 9 years old, and only after 9 years old, and a girl 3 years old. A boy under 9 years old that's exposed, or a girl under 3 years old that's exposed, there's no issue whatsoever. The person allowed to recite a bracha, and here he says, no, afilu mikotnu katana. Oh, how then can you ever do a bris milah? How can the moyel make the bracha asher kedeshanu b'mitzoyis fen lachnitza mishlam avinu? Rak l'tzarech mitzvah smila mutu l'varech neged erva satinok. The afilu moitzim einav, a person in front of a person that's not dressed, let's say not in the bathhouse, outside, the person is in a regular room, and for whatever reason he himself is exposed or someone is exposed and they're above the age, according to Ramah, above the age of 9 or a girl above the age of 3, whatever the reason is, but even if you close your eyes, you still cannot recite the bracha. Closing your eyes does not help for the ability to recite the bracha kineged, a part of the body that's meant to be covered. The erva is in your presence. The solution is the kitzur here is machmir, not like the Mishnah Berurah. It says turn your panav vigufay, move your entire body. It should not be in your range of sight. If it's not in your range of sight, it's mutter to recite brachos, even though a person is not dressed properly. The Mishnah Berurah is a makel. Well, I think the Ramah is also a makel. You don't need to turn your body. It's enough to turn your face. Even though you are facing, your body is opposite a person that's exposed, you do not need to turn your entire body. Just turn your face and make the bracha. If you want to take something to eat, take something to drink, you make the bracha, and then you can turn your face back. the kitzur, for whatever reason, this machmen says that a person should turn his entire body. Okay, let's stop here.